Mark Kreter sits down with Tennessee Tech's Aaron Hoover to discuss the art of creative writing. Plus, an opportunity for you to enjoy Upperman High School Theater Department's performance of The Sound of Music today on The Scene.
Today we are talking with Dr. Aaron Hoover, who is a professor of English in the Department of English at Tennessee Tech University. She specifically teaches creative writing. Aaron and I were colleagues in the Department of English for a number of years and are still colleagues at Tennessee Tech. And I'm so glad that we get a chance to talk today.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about the work that you do at Tennessee Tech in the Department of English.
Well, mainly I teach creative writing, and my specialty as a writer is poetry. So that is the course that I'm always going to be assigned.
Right.
I also teach creative nonfiction, though I don't write that as much. I read the genre, and I'm very, very familiar with writing it. I teach intro to creative writing, so that's a class that majors take, but also people in other majors.
Mm-hmm.
And then I teach some courses in literary editing. Tennessee Tech has a literary journal called the Iris Review. And so I teach that class every spring. I have it right now. But besides those classes, I teach some general education literature courses. I've taught composition. And I teach some graduate courses sometimes. Like right now, I'm teaching a class called Publishing Theory and Practice.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, a combination of creative writing, I would say, and publishing mostly.
Yeah, and now you mentioned the Iris Review, which I was very excited to get a piece picked to be in this year's. I have only been writing because of your influence. When I came to an open mic, it was just a year or so ago. But it's been such a lovely side thing. But what I wanted to ask about the Iris Review, so this gives students the opportunity to publish a journal or work in the publishing?
Yeah, so the job that we have in the semester when the course is run, it's always spring semester, is we put out a call for submissions that can be from students, anyone in the Tennessee Tech community, so people in the local community as well, can send us their creative work, so their short stories, their essays, their poems, their artwork. And the students go through all those and select which ones we're going to publish. And they actually, unlike, you know, I've seen this course taught different ways at other colleges, here the students actually lay out the journal.
Mm-hmm.
They do all the communicating with authors. It's not through me, the faculty member. I'm more someone who's guiding them through that process. But the idea is so that they can come out of that class with real practical publishing experience. It helps them so much if they're creative writing students because they can kind of see the other side of, okay, if I send my work out to try to get it published, what does that process look like from the other side? What kind of things are those editors thinking about?
Right.
But then it also, I think the skills that they learn in the class are also transferable if they're working in any kind of communications related field that involves marketing, that involves, you know, some sort of production of a printed product.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in marketing and communications for many years before I was an academic. So I know firsthand that those kind of skills are really important. And so the students can come out of the class with that. But they produce a printed journal by the end of the semester. We have a party in which people can come, people who are accepted, come and read their work for the community, and they can get a free printed copy of the journal.
That's so great. Is that unusual? Have most journals gone to like being online journals? Is it unusual to have a physical copy? Or
I think increasingly, as some universities have wanted to make some budget cuts, that's been an area where I've seen cuts happen. I've also seen some university-based journals, such as the Gettysburg Review, which wasn't publishing student work. It was more of a national journal. But that was something that college thought they couldn't afford to have anymore. But we do have a printed journal at Tech, and it's important to do that layout work. Print is a vital medium. Even though more people are reading online books, research shows that readers do a combination of online reading things online, but also they really want to hold a printed text.
Right.
So, and there are printed texts being produced. So our students have the advantage of, of having used that industry standard software to do those layouts and to take work through this kind of overall print production process.
That's so interesting. And so the creative writing, the it's a concentration in English, so students can major in English with their focus on in creative writing?
Yeah, so we have several focuses in the English department. There's literature, professional and technical communication, and creative writing. Students in the English major can choose one of those concentrations. So they say, okay, to their advisor, I want to be in the creative writing concentration. And then in addition to the core courses in English, they can take creative writing courses like poetry, fiction. There's a selection of courses that are specifically targeted for creative writers.
Aaron Hoover from Tennessee Tech University's Department of English. And we are back with Aaron Hoover. So Aaron, you're a poet and you have a book called No Spare Parts?
No. Oh, No Spare People.
No Spare People. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
You had it turned over and I was feeling like, I even have it. But tell us a little bit about the book and share one of your poems with us.
Sure. Well, this is my second poetry collection. It came out in October of 2023. I also have a first book called Barn Burner, which came out a few years ago. So this book is really about the time period. I mean, it's really tied to place and it's really tied to contemporary issues. I wrote it probably between 2018 and 2022. Okay. So if you think about all the things that were happening there, they appear in the book.
Right.
At the same time, I was raising my daughter. She was born in 2017. So I'm a single parent. And, I was kind of at the same time looking for work. I was trying to find academic work. So it's really a story about kind of striving my way through that and really trying to not just look at what was going on in my own life, but try to mirror some of the other things I saw going on.
Right.
I think the book resonates with people if they really think about that time period or if they've gone through something like a period of unstable employment or kind of being a single parent or doing that hard work of parenting when their child is very young. The book is called No Spare People because our family is just two people. It's just my daughter and I. So it's kind of ironic, right? Because there's no spare people in our family, but also conceptually, I don't think in our society there's any spare people.
Yeah.
I think everybody matters. So the book has a lot to say about that.
Yeah, that's I love that. It's a beautiful collection. I really did thoroughly enjoy it when I read it. Would you like to share one of your pieces with us?
Thank you. Yes, I would. I'll share a poem called At the Child Support Office. And this poem takes place, it was written about an experience in Florida where I used to live. At the child support office, the children were surprisingly calm. Later, I'd learn what my own child would accept, grown used to our nomadic life, but that was years away. Barely a person at 2 weeks. Unlike me, she couldn't focus on the men shuffling to the window to murmur words like cohabitate instead of what I would say, lived with, paternity instead of father. I understood that the men used legal rather than familial words because we were in an open plan echoing room that wasn't about families at all. I too had come to make a declaration that my baby was mine alone. At my turn, the clerk asked if I had proof, and I looked down at the fold of my child's mouth, her animal hands. I felt the diaper that held together my body ripped open not long before. I could hardly walk, but maybe that only proved, like her birth certificate, that I was her mother. You can't prove a negative, I wanted to say, but the nurse taking blood in the corner of the room wanted that. The man with his sleeve rolled up wanted it too. I see a father listed, the clerk said, and told me a French name, man piloting a swamp boat through my imagination. A stranger who, peering under our car seat bonnet, would be as confused as I am at how the state of Florida found a husband for me. Clerical error of a man. In response, I supplied the Latinate words that conjured my baby, artificial insemination, for all to hear, handing over the letter I asked my doctor to write. My word, I had to do that, get a letter like that. I've learned that I can't tell people what they don't already believe, but I fought for that blank space. This isn't a confession, but the facts that surround us, as everyone has. And once my child's fake father was gone, I thanked the clerk and ran through the parking lot through the gathered hissing geese. I drove home, opened my shirt, and on that spring day, fed my child.
And that was by Dr. Erin Hoover from her collection of poetry, No Spare People. And we'll be right back. Once again, we're talking with Dr. Erin Hoover. So you have been involved in not necessarily bringing poetry to Cookeville, but offering a venue for local poets to come and share their work. You've brought so many poets to the community. And I would love you to tell us a little bit about the Sawmill Poetry series that you started, correct?
Sure. Yeah, I would love to. When Plenty Downtown Bookshop opened in fall of 2022, I asked them if they would be interested in hosting a poetry series. They were really excited about it. I mean, sometimes when you suggest, hey, do you want to do a poetry series? People sort of look at you kind of flatly. They don't know what to say. But Plenty was really excited to do that. So what we do is I curate the poets who visit. We have a visiting poet each month, the first Monday of the month. And then we also have an open mic. But I look at poets who are from, you know, not too far away, who would be able to get to Cookeville. Cookeville Arts Council actually this year gave me a small amount of money, so I can offer that to the poets as well.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah. So really it's looking around for poets whose work I find exciting, who have new books out, and I just invite them to come. And I was looking today. We've had 28 poets so far.
I will say the events are always just so creatively inspiring. The poets that we have had the opportunity to meet and listen to and talk with. And of course, the venue, Plenty, is an amazing bookstore. Both the space they were in across the street and now where they are now is just a phenomenal space and a great place for the community to gather. And it's just really, it's just a really creative environment.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who come as part of the audience who write themselves. So you really feel like you're in a community of writers. But it's also totally fine if you want to come and just listen and not share your work.
And you have a poet coming up on Monday.
We do. Maria Zocola, a poet from Memphis, is coming to visit us. She's published Helen of Troy, 1993. Which is a book of poems inspired by the story of Helen of Troy. And the way she's grounded it is by basing it in Sparta, Tennessee. So it has some local resonance, and it's gotten fantastic reviews from the New York Times, just from everywhere. The reading begins at 7 p.m., and it's at Plenty. If you want to share your work in the open mic, you just need to come a little early and add your name to the list.
Yeah, it's such a great part of our community. And you're right. I so often come at the art scene in this community from theater, but it's been so exciting to see and hear and sometimes participate with these incredibly creative writers and the fact that they have a place like Plenty. You know, we used to do poetry things in the Backdoor Playhouse. I hope that they will start doing that again. I would love to see that happen. But, you know, it just adds to Cookeville is such a really center for so many creative artists, you know, whether it's theater, dance, writing, music. It adds so much to this community.
I found people here to be really supportive of the arts. You know, I've put on events in other places like New York City, for instance, or Oregon. I lived in Arkansas, too, for a while, and Florida. So all over the country. And I found that folks in Tennessee really do want to support one another.
So if people want to find out more, for instance, about upcoming events with the poetry series, how would they go about finding that out?
I would say the best way is to either search Sawmill Poetry on Facebook or at Sawmill Poetry on Instagram. So anyone who's interested in finding out more, I would say go to Facebook or Instagram and just look up Sawmill Poetry.
Sawmill Poetry. Well, thank you so much. We've been talking to Aaron Hoover from Tennessee Tech University, the Department of English. And I'm so appreciative for your time today. It's really been interesting learning more about your involvement in the arts in this community. Thank you so much.
Thank you.